Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them, to do you service, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles, into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So Paul, in this chapter, perhaps of all the chapters, makes his greatest plea to the Corinthian church not to slight him for his apostolic labors, for in so doing, they hurt themselves. In estranging themselves from him, they forget, don't they? They forget the many months that the Apostle Paul spent with them. They forget that it was through the preaching that he preached that the church of Corinth was founded. They forget when they work against his office that it was indeed by that office that they first learned Christ. And so in that estrangement then, there is great difficulty and peril for their own souls. So he begins then in this chapter with his desire, and his expressed desire to them is to present them as a church unto Jesus Christ, that he might commend them unto Christ as a church full of saints, holy folk that have turned away from the world and turned away from sin and more are walking in the ways of God and staying in that close communion with the apostolic teaching. And yet, notice what he says. He says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That is simply a metaphor for saying that it is my hope, my desire, to present you as a church growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. All right, so then he goes through various temptations and pitfalls that the Corinthians have, no doubt, in some sense at least, succumbed to. He's afraid, he says. Now, remember where Paul is. He is in Ephesus, which is across the Aegean Sea, the Peloponnesian archipelago. So Achaia is down here, Macedonia is up here, right, modern-day Greece, okay? And so across the sea in Ephesus, where Paul is, there is communication. It's not that far away. And so Paul is hearing things about them, and he has some particular fears for them, that in turning away from the apostolic teaching that he has brought to them, that they stand in danger of apostasy. And so he is afraid that as the tempter tempted Eve and beguiled her through his subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, he says some very, very earth-shattering things in these next couple of verses. He says that there is such a thing as another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel. And these, if you would think for a few moments, maybe get out a legal pad and start drawing out some connections, you would recognize that these things are interconnected. That once you pervert the Gospel, you pervert the nature of Christ, and you pervert the nature of the Spirit Himself. Right? Either the Spirit is that sovereign Spirit who blows where He listeth, says in John 3, and Christ is that Savior of His people, that His work is efficacious, and that Gospel is the Gospel that Christ came to save sinners like you and me, and He does so by His own sovereign power, or we begin to pervert them. And when we pervert them, we pervert all three of them. And I hope that you recognize what Paul is saying here, is that if you believe in another Jesus, and another Gospel, and another Spirit, that you put your soul in peril. You stand in peril of losing your soul. So, there is such a thing as another Gospel. There is such a thing as another Jesus. There is such another thing. Sorry, such a thing as another Spirit. And sadly, grievously, we say, with tears, that it is mostly that other gospel and that other spirit and that other Jesus that seems to obtain in much of what is called Christianity today. Not everywhere. There is some hope. And so, Paul then goes on to speak of his labors among them and how he behaved himself in such a way so as not to create any suspicion about his motivations. When I was with you, I didn't take a salary from you. It is my right to do so, but I never did. The churches that were in Macedonia supplied my need. As I traveled south with men of Macedonia, Philippi, and so on, as they traveled south, Thessalonica, as they traveled with me, what we found was that we would rather supply all of our needs ourselves than be chargeable to any of you. The reason we did that was because we didn't want to give the gospel an occasion of stumbling among you. And so that's what he means when he says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. Now, rob there, it's a hyperbolic term. It wasn't literally a robbing of those churches. They willingly gave up that support to the apostle. It's not the point that he's making. What Paul is saying is, they supplied, but you received the ministry. And then the apostle goes on to say, and it is really interesting that because you didn't supply anything for the ministry, it seems now that it doesn't seem worth anything to you. You have rather not ascertained its value because it was supplied for you by others. Isn't that just like human nature? Isn't that just like us? That very often the most valuable things that are truly of value, lasting value, eternal value, that when they're not very costly in a monetary or temporal fashion, that we tend to undervalue them, right? It turns out that the Corinthians were doing the same thing. But what I do, Paul says, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now, this is a really important point. Paul says, there are those in Corinth that are raising questions about my ministry. Okay? All right. Let them behave as we behave before they bring up those things. And there is, again, this side glance that the apostle is casting over at those false apostles, and he is making something of a veiled accusation from his apostolic purview that if they were laboring for nothing like we labored for nothing among you, I don't think they'd be in town for very long. Let them be exactly as we are before they bring up any more criticism. That's his point. So then, the apostle describes them as false apostles, evil workers. And he goes on to say that that's not a surprise, because even the devils manifest themselves or appear to be angels of light when they come. And so he likens those false apostles to the messengers of Satan. Now, what's interesting about that is that we need to understand something, though. That when the tempter comes to you, he does not come with a blazoned S on his forehead, Satan, 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 Satan. It doesn't look like that. He doesn't come to you looking like that. He comes to you transformed as an angel of light. What he says sounds so plausible. Like he came to Christ in the wilderness. Remember? You're hungry. Make these stones bread. Cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, because it says in Psalm 91, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You've got nothing to worry about here. Or how about this then instead? You don't like those? How about this one? You're going to do all of this, pass through the cross, die a horrible death to get the kingdoms of the world. I'll tell you what, they're mine now. I'll give them to you. All you need to do is bow down. No need for all this trouble. No need for all this angst. No need for all this suffering. Beloved, the enemy of your souls is more subtle than we can imagine. He appears as an angel of light. One of us by himself or herself, very, very seldom are we able to withstand by ourselves. This is why we are in communion one with another through Jesus Christ. This is why we need each other. This is why we offer correction and encouragement and direction one to another. Because one of us alone standing against Him, it could be said that we would lose every time. And were it not for the grace of God, that would be a true statement. So He appears as an angel of light. He is a master of subtlety. So it's no great thing if His ministers, verse 15, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, Paul says, are you seeking credentials? All right. If you're seeking credentials, let me give you some. Now, here's what's interesting about this. This is most fascinating. If you were seeking credentials from a guy, would you want to hear about all of his suffering? Would you want to hear, for instance, at the end of the chapter, that instead of standing strong in the faith, that what he did was he was let down by a basket over the side of a wall and hightailed it out of town instead of being persecuted? You see, this is what Paul is doing. He says, I want you to understand, I'll give you some credentials, but my glorying will always be in Jesus Christ and never in what I've done. I'm not going to tell you about my travels and how many churches I've planted and how many people have come to Christ at my preaching. Before I pastored here, every now and then there would be this opportunity and people would contact me and they'd send me this pastoral questionnaire. And I kid you not, on these questionnaires, there's always a question about how many conversions have there been under your ministry? I don't know. How would somebody know that? How could you ever think that? How could you ever think to ask it? But it's this kind of credential that the Corinthians are looking for. And Paul says, I'm going to give you my credentials. Here they are. I suffer for Christ's sake. I'm abased for Christ's sake. I'm thought of as the offscouring of the world. You want to be a great apostle for Jesus Christ? Okay, get ready. Watchings often, fastings often. 3 times I received of the Jews 40 stripes save one. I spent a night and a day hanging onto a piece of driftwood in the ocean. That's what it's like to be an apostle. It's not really that glamorous. It's being let down over a wall in a basket when others are telling you to stand and fight. It's following the Lord Jesus Christ and magnifying Him and not yourself. And this is why those other men cannot be apostles of Jesus Christ, because they magnify themselves. And so we'll not take the time to go over all the things that Paul says there at the end of the chapter about those credentials that he brings up. Suffice it to say that they are all humbling credentials and not credentials of exaltation. And this is what the apostle has to say to them as a proof of his apostleship. And after all those things, Jesus still can't get rid of me. I'm still hanging around because I desire to magnify Him above all else. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Corinthians chapter 11.